Coming up on podcast 1174, why cheap Chinese EVs could actually make cars cheaper for the rest of us. Also on the podcast today, a lot of Tesla news, including a feature they are now making standard, which should make their customers very happy, why Ford are taking control of their battery supply chain, and electric ambulances. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, Tuesday 10th of August. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Let's start with a bit of battery news, and Hyundai first up in the news today. Let's talk about recycling, or rather, repurposing and reusing. Have you heard of UL? Well, UL is a global safety science leader. It's a company. They've got together with Hyundai to sign an agreement to develop second life battery storage, says PV Magazine. Second life batteries often consist of used EV batteries that no longer meet the requirements of a car, but still perfectly good enough for grid-connected energy storage. Back in 2018, UL did a development of a standard for evaluating and repurposing batteries, at least in the US and Canada. Well, improvements in things like lithium extraction, battery efficiency upgrades, lithium battery recycling, and even battery reuse all present market opportunities as we move towards having more storage on the grid and even maybe in our homes and businesses as well. And whilst the original EVs out there, and even ones that are several years old now, are still absolutely fine and not degrading as fast as the doomsayers think, there isn't exactly a rich supply of used EV batteries going into the top of the funnel, as it were, to actually have a second-hand battery market. But I think it's good to have these agreements in place so that when those cars come off the road and are scrapped, no sign of it happening yet, those batteries can be repurposed. But also, I guess maybe it's a case of even the development cars that car companies have, and even, I mean, maybe if there's a recall, yes, we're looking at you, the Chevy Bolt, that even if cars at some point are recalled and the whole battery packs are replaced, and who knows what'll happen in that particular instance, at least those packs, which have got so much life left in them, will be used and recycled. Always something to bear in mind when you hear somebody who is, you know, an oil lover say, oh, well, the EV batteries are bad for the environment, and you know what happens when they all wear out? They don't wear out. Next, Tesla is making the HEPA filter standard on the Model Y. Now, I know that fans of Tesla will call it the bioweapon defense, which does sound awfully like a wonderful marketing term. I've got bioweapon defense. It's nothing more than a fancy HEPA filter, which of course have been around in cars forever and in vacuum cleaners and all sorts. But it is a really nice thing to have on a car if you do drive on congested roads, regardless of what car makers brand it as. And now they're putting that HEPA filter standard into the Model Y coming out of Fremont. We've seen it in the Chinese cars, but now it's on the American cars as well. According to Electrek, the filter in the Model X is 10 times larger than a normal car filter, and it's 100 times more effective than premium automotive filters. It takes out 99.97% of fine particulate matter, and that's really important if you spend a lot of time in your car. It takes out bacteria, viruses, pollen, mold spores. If you've ever seen, and go and have a look online, just Google Model X, you know, bioweapon defense filter change. These things are huge. It's like a mattress going in there. So I don't know if the Model Y one is the same size as the Model S X, but if it's smaller, hopefully it still does a really good job. I'm sure it will. And it's nice that we often see this, where sometimes a new feature arrives in the American-made cars and then it turns up in China. More recently, actually, the Chinese cars have been getting stuff first, and then it's like the new trim inside, and then it makes its way to Fremont. Typically always happens. And now this has as well. Great news for Model Y buyers, of which I would love to be one. If only they would make some right-hand drive versions. Chop, chop, Elon, pull your finger out. We can't get them over here. Tesla says that fires are 11 times less likely compared to the average. They say that while articles covering a fire involving a Tesla seem to be common, news of combustion fires are rare. And is that because they don't happen? No. There were 212,000 vehicle fires. The latest data is in 2018. Okay, it's 3 years old. But the National Fire Protection Association, I don't know why that would have changed dramatically in 3 years. 212,000 vehicle fires in the US And yet an electrical vehicle fire always makes the news. Tesla just released their 2020 impact report and pointing out that their batteries are actually very safe. Of course, the media like to point out an EV fire, and that makes people think that they're more prevalent than they really are. Tesla's data shows that there was one Tesla fire every 205 million miles from 2012 to 2020, compared to the average of 19 million miles. You are safer driving an EV in every possible way. So, how much did Elon Musk earn last year? When I can, I'm quite a fan of the sort of Tesla financial podcasts out there, just to learn more about the company. I don't own stock or anything like that. A lot of them are quite fanboyish as well, because I understand that, because if you own stock, you want to try and pump it, right? You make more money. I mean, I understand it. But I was listening to one recently talking about Elon Musk's pay award with his stock options. He is now the most highly compensated chief executive officer in the world. According to Forbes calculations, he got $11 billion last year in stock options, part of the compensation plan from 2018. He's entitled to the options that allow him to buy 101.2 million Tesla shares at $70 a share, split adjusted, and that is 12 tranches. Now, it gets increasingly difficult to hit the final ones, but he will, I imagine. The first four tranches of the options vested in 2020, and Tesla, they had to hit some market capitalization milestones and also operational milestones. Now, the actual market cap stuff, the share price is so high, that's fine. The operational stuff, some of those will take a little while longer, but there's a path. If they carry on, you know, increasing the way they are, there's a path to him hitting all those as well. He must also hold on to them for 5 years, according to the filing. So whilst he has the right to exercise 33 odd million options from last year, he can't turn around and just sell those shares. But still, earning $11 billion in a year is not bad. Next, we'll talk about car dealers. And there's one in Miami that sees the future and has been investing in it. Now, of course, a lot of people like to buy online, but their point of view, this particular car dealer, is you'll do all your research online, but when you're buying a new car, if it's about colours, if it's about a choice of carpets, trim, seat material, so many people want that final experience. So that's what Warren Henry Auto Group are betting on. They've just built a $120 million dealership in North Miami, in Florida. The story stretches back to 1976, when Warren was the main man that opened up the very first car dealership. And now his son, Larry Zinn, runs the place. They've got 19 acres across seven stories, and they have equipped themselves for the EV future. They have wired in 400 EV vehicle chargers across all the multiple floors. Now, 90% of buyers, they say, tend to shop online before arriving at one of their outlets, and that's why they see a future in, yeah, people who still want to buy online, but with a purchase as big as a car. This particular company said, hey, we want to be fit for the future. We're putting hundreds of EV chargers into our shiny new dealership so that we're fit for the future and we are ready. Great news that some, you know, obviously some dealers are better than others, but this particular one, I found this little story coming out of Miami all about, let's invest now. Let's invest in having loads of chargers, indoor showrooms, a nice experience for people. And I think that's a great news. Next, we'll talk about the Kia EV Soul. They've called it the Boardmaster Edition. So it's a surfer's dream, really. But when car makers have pre-production prototypes, they're often pretty similar to the final versions. You know, maybe a little bit of fit and finish here and there isn't the same. But when they get to the end of that process, they often get scrapped. Well, the batteries get taken out, and they often go to the crusher. And Kia saw things differently. So they took one of their pre-production Soul EVs and turned it into a surfmobile. It's for Boardmasters, which is on right now in southwest England on the Cornish coast. Boardmasters edition of the Soul EV has the same battery, so 64 kilowatt hour battery, says carandriver.com, but they've added 16-inch white wheels, some big horn tyres, redesigned the wheel arches to have these massive tyres as well, off-road tyres, modified suspension with an extra 3 inches of lift, a wider track at the front and rear by about 4.5 inches. A steel roof rack holding surfboards. This looks like a real off-road beach going, if not a beach buggy, with a massive off-road knobbly tyres on. It looks so cool, but it's obviously still a soul. I mean, you can't mistake that shape that some people say have a looks that only a mother could love. The Boardmasters edition is on display right now from now to August 15th if you are down in Cornwall doing a bit of surfing. Coming up on the podcast today, we'll look at the electric ambulance and police car fleets that'll soon be on the road. Stick around, we'll talk about that very soon. Now, let's talk about Ford taking control of their battery supply chain. Today, China, South Korea, Japan, they all dominate battery cell manufacturing. Europe would like to change that with big investments, but for now, raw materials are sourced from mainly Chile, China, Africa, US, Canada, a bit in Australia as well for some materials. According to the Ultima Media report, there are now surges in demand for lithium-ion batteries around the world, with regional spikes that are hard to forecast. There's a threat of demand outstripping the supply of the actual raw materials, the minerals like nickel, cobalt, and lithium, says automotive logistics website. Well, Ford have been talking about how they recognize the recent raw material price increase and how they're an indication of demand outpacing supply. Interesting to hear Ford say that. And obviously, they don't really make anything else apart from the Mustang Mach-E. Okay, Ford F-150 Lightning coming, electric Transit coming, and a lot more as well. But even now, demand outpaces supply. Ford are calling on governments and private enterprises to support the battery supply chain. And I can't help but wonder, and I know this is a little bit like, you know, the horse has bolted. I can't help but wonder, but if when Tesla were having these conversations 8-10 years ago and then putting in the application for Gigafactory Nevada and then rather than just assembling them, actually becoming a cell maker themselves, I can't help but wonder if the likes of Ford, GM, VW, Toyota had these conversations 10 years ago. We wouldn't be having them now where Ford go, oh, hey, raw materials. Wow, we should get some of those. Like, you think? Anyway, it's good they're saying it now and saying, oh, we need to get control of this. Some would say they should have done it before now. The signs were there if the management were doing their job. Next, we'll talk about Magna, the automotive tech company. Magna have got an electric axle, which they say is the quickest way to turn millions of pickup trucks electric that are already on the road. They've got a drop-in axle replacement, and I think loads of truck owners are going to be really interested to hear about this story. It can be swapped out from traditional beam axles. It's called the E-beam. Now, Magna have designed the rear axle to retrofit light commercial vehicles and turn existing trucks electric very fast. The transmission and the motor of the E-beam are all directly installed on a solid axle assembly. With the help of this technology, says futurecar.com, automakers can electrify existing models without making major modifications. Maybe even if you fancy turning your truck electric, you could do it too. The E-beam uses existing packaging space for these vehicles, and the technology helps retain the factory payload and towing capacity as well. Pop a link to that in the show notes. Next, electric ambulances are in the news. The British National Health Service, of which I hopefully all of my UK listeners are incredibly proud, planning to purchase electric ambulances. The NHS cooperating with Ford and the Venari Group to develop an electric Ford Transit. The electric ambulance will be shown off next month at the Emergency Services Show in Birmingham. According to this new report, the ambulance is designed for a two-person crew with 250 miles, that's 400 Ks, and production starts next year. The vehicle will do more than enough miles on a single charge to meet the demands of a typical shift, writes electrive.com. The electric ambulances will be deployed on often urban environment routes where they do often 70 miles a day or less, with lots of stopping and starting in traffic, also with immediate acceleration, instant torque, and more comfort than a diesel version. It'll be a smoother ride for patients and staff. The jointly developed ambulance based on the Ford Transit will be assembled at Ford's Dagenham facility next year. That's great news that our NHS are forward thinking and now ordering all electric ambulances that'll charge quickly, but still often they'll do an entire shift on a single charge. You've got to get those chargers into the ambulance stations. I know that a lot of ambulances now don't often go back to the the depot, if you like, the ambulance station, to get the response times down. Many of them are stationed in, I don't know, kind of retail car parks and lay-bys and stuff. It's all about reaching people quickly, but often they don't go back to base anymore. So obviously charging is going to be a consideration, but I'm sure those conversations are being had, and that's great news. That's really good news. Electric vehicle charge points are next in the news, and I found this story on the UK government website, and it made me chuckle. The Great British Red Post Box, or the London Black Cab, famous design icons recognised around the world. Now, the Royal College of Art have been commissioned to deliver a British charge point design that'll be equally as famous. Our Transport Secretary Grant Shapps announced today, and he is himself a Tesla owner, so I like to give him the time of day. He knows what he's talking about. The design was going to be unveiled at COP26 in Glasgow in November, and the government hope it'll be seen across the country from 2022. I don't know why a government needs to get involved in designing a national charge point. Who's going to use it? This is absolute waste of money. This is utterly pointless. The charge points, the government say, will be functional and accessible. Brilliant. And they will have sustainability at the heart of their design. They say, what? Why would anyone not use the design of the charge ports, the chargers that are out there in the market at the minute? Why does the government need to design the Great British Charger? This reads to me more like a press release, I don't know, to keep Brexit fans happy or something, and just shout Britain a little bit and wave a flag. There are now over 25,000 public charging devices across the UK, a major milestone that means, at least here, people are no more than 25 miles away from a charger on UK roads. Recent statistics by our kind of motoring lobby body that everyone, the car makers apart from Tesla, put their money into to lobby the government and the kind of decision makers. They say that over one in six cars sold last month had a plug. The rollout of these new Great British charge points means that they will be recognisable for drivers. Driving past one, you will instantly recognise this iconic British design. Pointless. Utterly pointless. Next, we'll talk about electric police cars and Wolfborough PD adding a Tesla Model Y to their fleet. It's a long range. They operate in New Hampshire. Other police departments that have added Teslas include Westport and Fremont in California. They've customised it with the police radio and the siren switches, etc. And it's on a kind of remote control device rather than on the console, and they're absolutely loving it. They say it's nice and quiet. If they need to get somewhere quickly, it's nice and quick. The range is all they need, so absolutely perfect. By the way, talking about batteries to finish off today, let me tell you about this that I found online and really got my brain ticking, and maybe I'll make it a future question of the week. A blog that I love is Push EVs, and Pedro, who writes it, does a lot of battery chat, and he says that the lithium iron phosphate batteries, the LFP chemistry that's out there and increasingly being talked about, allows car makers to build EVs that are safe, durable, simple, affordable, and have good performance. Unlike the NMC batteries or the NCA ones, but the chemistry's been around ages, LFP batteries are safe, they don't burn, they don't explode, and the battery packs don't require much safety equipment. Therefore, they can be what is called cell to pack. So rather than having a lot of packaging and weight and expense around assembling lots, thousands of small little cells, by having these kind of, I'll call them bricks, if you haven't seen a picture of a prismatic cell, and just putting them into a battery pack with less around them keeps the cost down. Now, Everbright Securities released a report, an analysis of the cost of battery packs and the LFP cells from different companies, and BYD is currently winning. So the company CATL that provides Tesla for their LFP cells are making them at about 75 euros per kilowatt hour. BYD, according to Everbright, are currently producing them for 55 euros, not 75, 55 euros per kilowatt hour. They also say that sodium ion batteries, about 30% cheaper, they're going to be coming out of the lab and onto the roads as well, dropping the cost to 40 euros per kilowatt hour. And the point of this article and the headline story today is that the auto industry does tend to have this line, this that they trot out quite a lot, which is, oh, we can't wait for batteries to be less than $100 per kilowatt hour because then we'll be able to reduce the price of the cars. EVs are still too expensive compared to their combustion versions. But if you took a 60 kilowatt hour LFP battery, it would cost around €3,500. There's no good reason why you can't get a small city car that's exactly the same price as the combustion version. The battery is €3,500. Say the motor, the inverter, the packaging around it is going to be another 1,000. Well, you're not paying for a combustion engine, an exhaust, an ancillary systems, and all the things that go into a fossil car. So you take away that cost, and then you've got to add in maybe $4,500 for a battery and the electric powertrain, right? So the point of his blog is arguing battery prices are coming down really quickly, but the auto industry don't want you to know that because a couple of reasons. Firstly, if politicians and the rulemakers know how cheap batteries have got this year, they'll take away subsidies, and the car makers want to keep the subsidies. Also, the cars could be cheaper, and if the politicians and those that make the rules knew that EVs could be cheaper, that the car makers is just profit and margin for them, they would ban petrol cars quicker, and the car makers don't want them banned. So there's this kind of weird game. I was going to say cat and mouse, but it's not really. It's just a lie. EVs can be cheaper. We saw recently with the case of a people carrier, and I forget the name of the one, I'll dig it out. It's like an 8 or 9 seater. Is it the Citroen e-Space Tourer, that one? Didn't it just drop by $15,000 overnight in the UK for the base spec to come under the £35,000 grant limit? Like, how do you just swipe that off overnight if it wasn't all profit before? So, really interesting blog. If you, like me, have an interest in this kind of area, I'll pop a link in the show notes if you want to read more. But it's a really interesting point he's making. Car makers don't plan, the car makers that don't plan to use LFP batteries, cobalt-free batteries, cell-to-pack technology, if any of them aren't planning that, they're simply not serious about mass-producing affordable cars for people to buy. The technology isn't in the future. It's here now, and it's being used a lot in China, which brings me to my point, my question of the headline story today. Those Chinese cars that are coming into Western markets, look at Norway, BYD, NIO, XPeng, if they start selling cars a big discount because of this technology, it'll force the other car makers to compete. They won't want to, but they'll have to. And this is where those Chinese car makers could drive down the price of all EVs, whether it's a Chinese one you buy or not, for the rest of us. Food for thought. I might be wrong. Always like to hear from my listeners if you think I missed the mark, and tell me your thoughts on that. Fascinating, isn't it? There was a recent, was it the Renaultution event that they, the Renault one where, you know, the CEO is going, oh, we can't wait for the prices to be below $100 per kilowatt hour. Because then, you know, by the middle of the decade, we think we can really drive down prices. It's out there now. €55 per kilowatt hour if you buy BYD batteries. Maybe I'll offer a counter perspective. I'll defend the car makers. Maybe they can't get them. Maybe they can't sign those contracts. Maybe there's no supply because they didn't do this 5 years ago and think in the future. So maybe they messed up and now they're trying to say, hey, this technology is not out there. It's out there now. And it's in China. And the Chinese cars are coming. Interesting stuff to think about. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. On a scale of 1 to 10, where does environment rank for you in the reasons that you bought EV or interested in EVs? Email me your thoughts and I'll read them out on Sunday. Hello at evnewsdaily.com. Well, it would mean a huge amount if you could take 2 minutes to ever review this podcast on Apple, on your phone, on your laptop. A little star rating, a few words, help others discover it. And thanks to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.